Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, some good news for the Packers. The Pro Bowl selections came out on Tuesday evening, and three Packers get selected to the Pro Bowl. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers for the sixth time in his career. Certainly no surprise there with his passer rating around 100 for the season once again. But two players who get to the Pro Bowl for the first time, veteran guard T.J. Lang and third-year safety HaHa Clinton-Dix. Always exciting to see players get that type of recognition for the first time, especially a guy like Lang who had kind of been waiting for it for a while.
Yeah, and I got a chance to ask Mike McCarthy that on Wednesday morning, just what that meaning was for Lang. And his first response, initial response, was about time. And I think there's a lot of guys in that locker room that feel like T.J. Lang has been playing at a Pro Bowl caliber the last few years. I think there's a little bit of a stigma, Mike, when you look at offensive lines. You want to take a sampling of offensive lines across the league because a lot of times they do get judged as a group. Well, in Josh Sitton, for a number of years, I think the Packers felt good about how he was playing, and then he sort of broke that glass ceiling. And Lang was kind of waiting in the wings a little bit. This season has been his opportunity to really shine. And I think, you know, and Aaron Rodgers discussed this a little bit on Tuesday, too, that sometimes, you know, guys get that recognition a year after the fact. Yeah. Lang's had a really nice season, especially with what he's played through. But, I mean, last year specifically, I thought he really separated himself as one of the top guards in this league. So for him finally to go, I'm sure the Packers would have loved to have gotten more there. David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga. But you could tell just on social media and how people reacted to it that it was a special achievement for T.J. Lang to finally get the nod.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of his teammates congratulating him on Twitter and whatnot, and I'm sure he'll get a lot of congratulations in the building today as well. And as you said, maybe a year or even 2 years late for Lang in terms of the level of play that he's been at, but also Josh Sitton being a Pro Bowl guard, it's awful hard, no matter right. how good they are, it's awful hard for two guards on the same team to get that same sort of recognition. So so good for T.J. Lang. But with regards to the whole maybe a year too late thing, Clinton-Dix maybe broke that that stigma a little bit. Not to take anything away from his first 2 years, but I don't think in his rookie season or his second season that he was necessarily playing at a Pro Bowl level. This year he has been, and he did get the recognition right away. He's got five interceptions, a pair of two interception games, one of the team's leading tacklers, which you would expect the way he roams both center field and comes up in the box, really becoming an all-around defender and a nice little chess piece for Dom Capers from a scheme standpoint.
Definitely, Mike. And you know, you go back, what's interesting about Clinton-Dix's selection is I think a lot of people sort of prophesied that this was going to happen for him this year. I think back to Mark Murphy doing the media rounds in the preseason saying that they believe that he can be a Pro Bowl caliber safety. Mike McCarthy, thinking back to the offseason program, how he really talked up what Clinton-Dix did in his second season and really seeing him as one of those guys that could potentially take off in his third year. This has been a really, I think when you do talk about guys that really just broke out, Clinton-Dix, it would be really difficult to deny him of this honor. Five interceptions, tied for the league with Lendell Collins of the Giants. And also just from the, as you said, the schematically, what the Packers have been able to do with him this year. He plays in the box. He plays center field. A really versatile young man. He was asked about Aaron Rodgers, kind of stumping for him a little bit on Tuesday. Said that's a great honor. His focus was the Vikings, but did admit that the Pro Bowl was always a goal, and in his third NFL season, he achieves it.
Yeah, for sure. And I have to say, I thought Clinton-Dix shouldn't make the Pro Bowl, but I wondered because of the timing of the voting and whatnot, the fact that he got his fourth and fifth interceptions of the season just this last week in Chicago, the votes were essentially already in before that. He only, you know, I say only had three interceptions at the time that the votes were cast. And you wonder statistically, is that going to be enough to, you know, attract the attention, you know, across the league and whatnot to get it. But good for him. He got the honor and he certainly deserves it.
Yeah. And when you think of all the things that have been changing in the Packers secondary this year, all the injuries they've battled through, the different lineups and the ways that they were using Morgan Burnett. Haha, Clinton Dix was the constant. He's played all but one defensive snap this season. And for him to finally get that recognition, I think speaks a lot towards what he's accomplished to this point in his career, and also the fact that the NFL is really picking up on it. I mean, a third of the vote is the fans. You got to get your fans behind you. But the other half of it, you know, is you know, coaches and players and
yeah,
really giving
absolutely.
Him that recognition. So
yeah.
Throughout the league, I think people are picking up on Haha, Clinton Dix, and now becomes the first safety since Nick Collins to get that honor to go to Orlando now, if, again, that ends up working out. Maybe the Packers are getting ready for a Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, that'd be all right. but, yeah, getting back to Lang for a second, too, and we've talked about it before. When you look at the number of injuries that this guy has played through over the years, he has had to miss some games this year, which just tells you how significant his injuries have been this season, because it's been so rare for him to miss any time, whether he's dealing with an ankle or a shoulder or whatever it is that he's putting himself through. And then, as you mentioned, a guy like Clinton Dix, who has pretty much been on the field for every snap this year, he has been a constant for Dom Capers in that defense and in that secondary. And that pairing, we've seen, you know, Clinton Dix, the younger guy, Morgan Burnett, the older guy at safety, really becoming a nice duo for Green Bay.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, along with praising Clinton Dix, he also pointed out that he thought Morgan Burnett had a Pro Bowl caliber season. And I think it'd be really difficult to discount that. When you look at the fact that he hasn't just been a safety for them this year, he's been an inside backer, he's been a slot cornerback. They really diversified his skill set this year and really pushed his knowledge of the defense to the max. This has been a good year for Morgan Burnett. And although he's not going to be ultimately the one getting the Pro Bowl nod this year, I think Haha Clinton Dix is going to make it pretty clear that Morgan Burnett had a lot to do with that as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkiewicz over there. Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, the games just keep getting bigger for the Packers. This week it's the Minnesota Vikings coming to Lambeau Field on Saturday afternoon. And the way the schedule shook out this year, the Packers played Minnesota way back in Week 2, the opening of U.S. Bank Stadium. Now here we are all the way to Week 16 before the rematch. We've talked all year about how much the Packers have certainly evolved. This Vikings team is a very different one as well from the one the Packers saw in Week 2. I look at the strength, obviously, of Minnesota is their defense, but a couple of things that will be different defensively is Xavier Rhodes, the top cornerback, will be in this game.
Right.
But Harrison Smith, the top safety for the Vikings and a Pro Bowl safety at that, will most likely not be in this game due to an injury. So a little bit different look in Minnesota's secondary to start off.
Yeah, definitely a big change when you go from, you know, now they have their top cornerback, but they lose a Pro Bowl type safety. And I think you look at Harrison Smith and what he's done over the number of years now, the defense that Mike Zimmer's been building towards, you know, he was asked a little bit about the success he's had in the past against Aaron Rodgers, and he deflected a lot of the compliments, saying that, well, it all comes down to having good players. He had good players in Cincinnati, and he has good players in Minnesota. And Harrison Smith is a big part of that. When we talk about Haha, Clinton Dix, and Morgan Burnett and the value to the Packers defense, well, Smith is the exact same guy for the Vikings. So to not have him is going to be an interesting challenge. Certainly they've had some issues trying to find a way to replace him. But, you know, Rhodes being back, I think Rhodes is one of the top guys in this league right now. I know he doesn't really probably get the same name recognition is some of those you know, corners out there, but he was a good pick for them, and I think he's really stepped his game up here the last 2 years.
Yeah, Rhodes is definitely a dynamic corner. I would agree with you there. And as you mentioned, Harrison Smith, a lot of scouts and other coaches around the league talk about him as the glue guy for Minnesota's defense, and having to adjust without him has been tough. Minnesota's coming off of a rough ball game, 34-6, a loss to Indianapolis. Really, almost in all facets, the worst defensive performance, certainly by one of the top-rated defenses in the league. And if there's anything I know about the talent on Minnesota's defensive side of the ball and that coaching staff with Mike Zimmer, they're going to get that defense to play better come Lambeau Field. I don't see back-to-back performances like that from that defense. The Packers are going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and I didn't do all my research here, so I don't know exactly how far you'd have to go back to find the last time a Mike Zimmer coach defense did not register a sack in a game.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's probably right up there with the Dom Capers coach defense not being able to get anybody home. That was surprising. And as we talked about earlier this week, when you look at Andrew Luck and some of the hits that he's taken over the last year and a half, that's been an area that the Colts have kind of been trying to fortify, that offensive line, to restrict and limit that damage. They did a good job of it against Minnesota. Now, there's some real talented guys on that defense, though, that are going to get their chance to pass rush, that are going to get their chance to get home. They have a good run-stopping nose tackle, Linville Joseph, who's, in my opinion, one of the top guys in this league.
Yeah, he's a tough customer, no doubt.
I thought that was a smart signing for when they got him. So all the pieces are there in the defensive front, but if they don't get that pass rush, the one area that I think can be somewhat seen as a weakness is their secondary. And that was something that was exposed against the Colts, and I'm sure as Mike Zimmer gets this team ready this week, they're going to try to find every way possible to make sure that they ramp up that pressure again on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, not allow them to get pass happy like Indianapolis did.
Yeah, for sure. And when you talk about ramping up the pressure, that's what Sam Bradford on the offensive side of the ball for the Vikings. He's been under a lot of heat all season long. That Vikings offensive line has struggled. They've had a lot of injuries, haven't been able to put it together. They've struggled with the running game as well. Adrian Peterson, you know, only played about a dozen snaps in his return last week. I would imagine he's expected to play more. I would think he'd get more than six carries. Obviously, falling behind 27-0 at halftime last week, you know, took the running game right out of the equation for the Vikings. But you know, this issue that they've had with protecting Bradford, they've really had to adjust their entire offense around it. And what I mean by that is, they haven't been able to consistently establish a downfield passing game. I actually looked up some statistics. Bradford had a great game against Green Bay, his very first game. He averaged 13.1 yards per completion against the Packers back in week two. Since that game, he's averaged 9.4 yards per completion. Their passing game as the season has gone along has gotten shorter and shorter and more horizontal. It's been get the ball out quickly, you know, not having enough time to let those downfield routes develop. And that's why I say this Minnesota offense will look very, very different, I think, from the one the Packers had to try to defend back in week two.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been having a hard time trying to get the downfield stuff going with, you know, Stephon Diggs like they did last season with a lot of game-breaking plays. One thing you're going to see in this game, too, that I don't think we saw a whole lot of in week two is how they're using Cordell Patterson. A lot of screens, a lot of wide receiver stuff underneath, kind of trying to get him the ball to let him make some plays. He has a lot of catches this year. I think he has 49 catches, only averaging about 9 yards a catch. But a guy that, again, you have to be cognizant of. It's an offense, the way it's structured, yeah, there isn't going to be all those game-breaking, you know, long plays, but the potential's there, and I think that that's where the Packers have to be very cognizant of what happened in week two and make sure that some of those big play opportunities that the Vikings had, particularly with Sam Bradford being able to avoid the pass rush, you know, don't happen again.
Yeah, you definitely want to cut down on the big plays, but the other thing that the Vikings passing game really makes you cognizant of is tackling.
Yeah.
You have to because they throw the short passes, you have to tackle those guys right away, because if they start breaking tackles, then the big plays start to come. So
definitely.
With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, shifting gears back to the Packers. We heard from Packers wide receiver Davante Adams in the locker room on Tuesday. He's coming off of obviously a very frustrating game, dropped a couple of touchdown passes at Soldier Field in Chicago, both passes that he knows he should have caught. Not going to make any excuses. But both hearing from Adams and his teammates, there's no lack of confidence in this receiver, certainly when you look at what he's done over the course of the year. And just the fact that he dropped a couple of balls on Sunday afternoon in Chicago is not going to change how Aaron Rodgers thinks of him and how Aaron Rodgers is going to look for him when he needs a play to be made.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. And Rodgers made that really abundantly clear. Those type of things are going to happen. You don't want them to happen, but they're going to happen. And what happened with him wasn't just necessarily mental mistakes or not, you know, doing the right thing. It just is being human, really. Yeah. And the first one, he said that, you know, the sun kind of got in his eye a little bit, so he was sort of trying to find the ball, just couldn't quite do it. The second one was the one where I think was more frustrating for him because he was able to beat his guy, and it was an opportunity to gain separation. He saw the ball in his hands, just couldn't grab it. A lot of things going on there with conditions and whatnot. But I thought that was the biggest thing is Aaron Rodgers, because he was asked about how he went right back to him on that 17-yard pass on the next series after his second drop.
Right.
And he made it clear. He's like, I'm going to keep throwing to him because he's earned that. He's a big-time playmaker for us. He's gotten open a lot this season. So when he has that chance, he's going to still keep pulling the trigger and trying to find Davante Adams.
Yeah, and just to be clear, too, it's not as though Adams is completely brushing this off or whatever. I mean, you saw his emotion during the game on Sunday.
No.
He kicked the pile on. He threw his helmet. He cares about this, and he was not happy with how he played. But that being said, he's also like, hey, this isn't anything to have to come back from or recover from. It's just, you know, it happens, and he knows he's better than that. His teammates know that he's better than that, and they still believe in him. Mike McCarthy said, hey, we're going to throw the ball to him again on Saturday. You can count on it.
Yeah, and he did say that. I mean, there's nobody that's going to be harder on Adams than himself with that performance. And he, you know, if you go on social media, he made it clear. I mean, he was upset. And he said also when they got back in the film room a little bit, it kind of gnawed on him and just not being able to convert in those opportunities and those chances. But at the end of the day, he's still, 40, 60 yards shy of his first 1,000-yard season.
Yeah, he's closing in for sure.
He's really established a lot of equity in this offense and a lot of respectability, and that's the reason why Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, across the board, the Packers have confidence that he's going to find a way, starting maybe even this weekend, to get back on track.
Yeah, and he's really, this game was so uncharacteristic of the way his season was going, because in the previous five or six games, he'd had a handful of 40-plus-yard receptions, you know, multi-touchdown games, all of that kind of stuff. The 66-yard touchdown to start the route over Seattle was a huge play in that game, too, to get the Packers off on the right foot. So, Davante Adams will still be a big part of this offense moving forward. I certainly expect him to bounce back, even though he doesn't even necessarily want to call it that.
Yeah, and he's had some big, like, competitive catches this year. You go back to Jacksonville, where he was pass interfered with and end up doing it.
Oh, in Philadelphia. The touchdown catch in the back of the end zone in Philly, and then the 50-yard bomb down the sideline on one-on-one coverage. Just some great plays there by Adams. But we got to get to a break, Wes. But before we do that, a little bit of sponsor business here. At home or in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious Chunky Chicken Broccoli Cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we heard from the NFL on Tuesday night. The league actually released the what they call the playoff scenarios for Week 16 here, and the different permutations and whatnot of how certain teams can clinch and get positioned and everything else. And for the Packers, it is actually possible for the Packers to clinch a playoff spot, not the division championship, but clinch a playoff spot this weekend. But a lot of things have to go right. Obviously, it starts with beating the Vikings, but then the Packers need the Redskins to lose, the Buccaneers to lose, the Falcons to win, And then there's other things that have to happen for the Packers to get this strength of victory tiebreaker thing over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's a pretty complicated deal, but maybe, just maybe, the Packers can clinch a playoff spot before Week 17.
First, permutations, wonderful word, really impressive.
I don't even know if I used it right.
It works for me.
Okay.
Two, I just prefer Mike McCarthy's get to 10 wins and let everything else figure it out.
That works.
We had all this. I've seen all this on social media, and I get it. Fans want to know. They want to know if the season ended today, where if the Packers would be in the playoffs or not, even though it's incredibly meaningless at this point. But that's the way things are. People, that's what they're playing for here, so yeah. I understand that. But at the same time, there's so many things that have to happen because there's still so much football left to be played.
Yep.
The positive thing for the Packers is to be on the positive end of this. They aren't talking about, okay, we need X, Y, and Z to happen, so then now we have a chance. We're suddenly in a position where now we're talking about if the Packers could potentially clinch a spot this weekend.
Right.
That shows you how important this four-game stretch has been for them. And now to be in this spot, they want to win. They want to beat the Vikings, but if all those dominoes would line up, I'm sure it would, be a little extra push going into that final game against Detroit, knowing that the playoff is secured, and now you're trying to secure that division title.
Yeah, and what's interesting is if all the dominoes are falling the right way, starting with the Packers beating Minnesota and everything else is falling into place, the last domino would actually be Monday night, Detroit against Dallas.
Right.
And as a Packer fan, you'll be cheering for the Lions to win because of this whole strength of victory thing, because the Packers already have a victory over Detroit from back in week three. But there's a lot of stuff that has to go right for that scenario to materialize. If anything else in those scenarios goes wrong, you're probably rooting for the Lions to lose just like last week.
Yeah, and that's one other thing. Give credit to people at the NFL that figure this stuff out. I'm not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough to be able to figure out all these different scenarios and solutions. But as Mike McCarthy said, and I jokingly allude to it, but it's true, just win.
Yep.
Get to 10 wins and then figure out what happens from there.
Yeah, beat the Vikings and then turn your attention to the Detroit Lions and go from there. So with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.